The Moon, Part 2. Internal Structure. Hello once more, thank you for being here with me for another video. I hope you are all doing very well. I am Marie Swaru. This is the second part about the Moon. I'd suggest you look at Part 1 first as it gives you important concepts and history to be able to understand this one, if you haven't already. I will leave a link above and to the right of your screen. In the first part, I talked about how the United Federation of Planets, of the Galactic Federation, the same thing, describes the history of the Earth's moon. From the point of view of stellar information, the moon was artificially placed in Earth's orbit some 12,500 years ago to help stabilize it, and that was necessary because of two main reasons. The first one is because Earth received several trillions of tons of water coming from the destroyed planet Tiamat, and this alone was enough to destabilize Earth's orbit and its magnetic polar dynamics. The second one is because of the destruction of Tiamat, which was a large watery planet that once orbited the Sun between planets Mars and Jupiter, and today its remains are the asteroid belt. This destruction caused a big astronomical imbalance that affected the entire solar system, creating chaos in all the planets' orbits, and which had to find its new equilibrium naturally and after a long period of adjusting time, in which advanced interstellar civilizations could only help in a very limited way. The Moon is a counterbalance to stabilize Earth and its orbit, but it is not only that. As I described in the first part, the Moon is an artificial spherical-shaped starship that was badly damaged beyond repair in the battle that destroyed planet Tiamat some 12,500 years ago. It was built by the Arcturians, with the help of the Andromedans who would become its final owners and users. As the Moon is a starship, or a large biosphere ship or space station, it is hollow. The Moon's internal structure is made of 144 levels consisting of 144 inner spheres, placed one inside the other like an onion, and in which the spaces between them are the ones used for practical purposes. The Moon is made of 144 interconnected spheres one inside the other, but not at the same distance from each other, and placed as a Russian doll, and each one is a starship hull in itself. The first level under the outer hull is full of machinery and hangar spaces, and it is there where its artificial gravity generators are placed. The Moon has several hundreds of large hangars of different sizes, meant to harbor other smaller vessels, and they are placed along this level right under the outer hull. The entrances to those hangars, especially the ones in use today, are masked as craters using the lunar hologram. They are large horizontal sliding doors in some cases, and in others, those doors open as a shutter diaphragm from a photographic camera does. Under the floor of those hangars, inside the next sphere, the main control installations can be found. This is the place where official centers reside, where most visiting races are accommodated, as well as housing the necessary life-sustaining machinery, and for maintaining the inner levels functioning. Under this level, and passing through the first two whenever it is necessary, the main engines are accommodated, pointing in every direction, but also having one main super-large engine that is masked as the crater known as Tycho. Under this level and under several other service layers, the first of three main biosphere levels is found. The biosphere levels are places with a very high ceiling where a natural ecosystem is allowed to thrive, yet always under artificial control. There are, or were, mountains, rivers, plains, grasslands and oceans there, with all their plants and animals, as well as farmland to harvest the necessary food for the biosphere inhabitants. Inside this level and immersed in that artificially controlled nature, There are, or were, several large cities and towns, and this is where most inhabitants used to live. These are not human-like cities, they are softer and friendlier to nature ones, with a lot of space between buildings and constructions. Most Andromedan people used to live in places like this, but they also inhabited more traditional ship-like installations closer to the outer hull, and as needed. Under several other service layers, the second biosphere level is found, with the same characteristics as the first, but harboring different ecosystems, mimicking those of alien planets, and as needed, or wanted by the biosphere's inhabitants. Once more, under several service layers, the third main biosphere level is found, with the same characteristics as the first two, although smaller as we go deeper into the moon. Then under this last level, we find more life-sustaining equipment and machinery of immense size, and at the core, there are an array of 72 Seropoint reactors that power the whole biosphere ship. According to the data I have, a few of them are still working, and the others are either damaged or turned off as they are not needed. This above is the basic description and in a few words, of the internal structure of any large biosphere ship like the Earth's moon. Today there are innumerable biosphere ships built basically the same way, with an internal onion structure, each one with its own variants as would be expected, and there are several of those super large crafts in this solar system, mainly orbiting Jupiter and Saturn. Some of them are also behind the disguise of being a moon. The sad part is that the biosphere ship that is being used as Earth's moon is basically in ruins. Much of its internal levels are badly contaminated by radiation from that battle long ago, and its biosphere ecosystems have been removed and deactivated long ago. Most of its levels are today not much more than thousands of kilometers of junkyard. The information about the moon I have is not complete, and I'm starting to realize that although I have more than enough to cover several videos, the Federation has not disclosed in detail many things, nor has it disclosed the exact contents of each level as they are today. Although I am researching this subject among others, right now I cannot know if the information is being censored, or if I simply must look for it in another place. For example, it is not clear to me if those biosphere levels are completely sterile nowadays or if there is any ecosystem still existing there, but the data does suggest everything is destroyed nowadays. I will share my findings with you all as I go along with this subject. What is quite clear is that the surface levels, hangars, and official control places are still functioning, and serve as an operating base for the Federation and many of their smaller ships, yet it is not their main command and control center, that one is located in the other biosphere ship also in Earth's orbit, the Viera, which is hiding behind the moon, using it as a shield not to be seen from Earth, and which is a lot smaller and triangular shaped, not spherical. In the third part of this lunar series, I will talk about the moon's influence on Earth, and how it is generating low-frequency vibrations to help keep Earth in 3D, as well as morphing Earth's magnetosphere into the Van Allen belts that serve as a radiation and etheric barrier around Earth. As a last note for today's video, I must say that the systems on the moon which transmit low-frequency energy transmissions to Earth are not being fed but any of those Seropoint reactors located at its core, as those are being used to feed the rest of whatever is still working there. The systems that help keep Earth in a 3D state are being fed by 8 or 12 ionizing nuclear reactors, much like the ones found on Earth, and many of them are offline, failing or malfunctioning nowadays. Researching this, I found conflicting information about how many nuclear reactors are still working and how many there are in total, that's why I said 8 or 12 above. I'm researching this and I hope to be able to give more precise information about them in the next video of this Lunar series, as well as the reasons why nuclear reactors were used to feed those Earth-affecting transmissions, and not any of the original Sero Point reactor systems. Thank you for watching my video and for liking and subscribing. I appreciate it a lot because it is very helpful for me. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love. Your friend, Marie Soirou.